Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. In March 2021, the National Comprehensive Cancer Network, or NCCN, Oncology Research Program, in partnership with Pfizer, announced that 10 research projects have been chosen to receive funding to focus on innovative ways to improve biosimilar adoption in the oncology space. For this three-part series of Not So Different, the Center for Biosimilars has chosen three projects that relate to improving perception of biosimilars, choice of biosimilars, and payer preferences for biosimilars. In this first part, we spoke with Claire Saxton, Vice President of Education at Cancer Support Community, a worldwide patient and family advocacy organization that provides financial support and navigation services. Saxton discussed how her project titled Frankly Speaking About Cancer, Biosimilars, Researching Oncology Patient and Caregiver Perceptions, will help address the current perception issues surrounding biosimilars. So Claire, if you could just briefly explain your role and what your research project will be focusing on and why you're conducting it.
This is Claire Saxton with the Cancer Support Community. I'm their Vice President of Outreach and Education. And the Cancer Support Community recently got funding to do a research project about patients' perceptions of biosimilars. The Cancer Support Community has done several biosimilar patient and caregiver education programs. And one of the things that we found is that patients get very confused. If we had at the very beginning come up with a patient-friendly name for biosimilars, it would be easier for patients to understand. But, you know, getting into gradations of, well, how is it similar but not the same? And what's a biologic drug and how is that different from chemical drugs? That's not something that patients are usually used to having to understand before understanding what their therapy might be. And so for many patients, they won't know whether their physician has prescribed them a biosimilar or not. They'll just know that they're getting the therapy that they're doctor prescribed. However, if their insurance, you know, has a preference for the biosimilar rather than the originator product, there could be instances where patients think that they're going to get one drug and then get worried because there are other drugs that are talked about them getting instead. And so one of the things that we've tried to do is find the easiest way to explain that biosimilars are safe and effective to patients and that, you know, there isn't anything that they need to be worried about if everyone in their breast cancer support group who's HER2 positive is getting Herceptin. Just because they're getting a biosimilar to Herceptin doesn't mean that it's any less safe or any less effective. And so what we propose is getting some feedback from patients. We've already gotten it in a qualitative way by doing these iterative focus groups. But the next thing that we're going to do is to measure perceptions of standard messages about biosimilars in a survey that we field with the oncology patients and caregivers. And then we'll analyze that data and publish and promote the results of that research. In addition to doing that kind of patient perception research, we are also looking at pulling together a summit of patient advocacy groups, both in the cancer and oncology space, but also in other disease states that use biosimilars, especially autoimmune disorders, and pulling together a patient advocacy summit where we talk through insights that all of us have learned about educating our audiences on biosimilars so that we can share best practices of what have we found that works well for patient advocacy groups in educating patients and caregivers on biosimilars.
What are some of the major perception issues regarding biosimilars that persist among patients and caregivers in the community oncology space?
So I think the main thing is that patients are confused. If it were as simple as this is a biogeneric, in some ways that would make more sense to patients because they'd be able to say, oh, I know what a generic is. So I have an idea of that this drug that's being prescribed is equivalent and is, safe and effective for what it's been prescribed for. Biosimilar is a brand new, there's nothing for patients and caregivers and the general public to be able to take previous knowledge and apply it to the word biosimilar. Many patients have gotten biologic drugs without ever having been told that they were receiving biologic drugs. And the fact that you actually have to explain what a biologic drug is in order to be able to explain what a biosimilar is just adds to the complexity. And so it makes some people question the safety and the efficacy if it's similar but not identical to a biologic drug. But of course, that's after you've gotten them through the confusion of, okay, these biologic drugs are different from chemical drugs in that not every batch of a biologic drug is exactly identical to the next batch. And that's something they've never had to think about before. They just got their drug that their doctor prescribed.
Now, you work a lot in patient education on biosimilars, but there has also been some concerns raised by physicians about whether biosimilars are effective enough. And although, as you said, patients have never had to consider what a biologic or biosimilar is, physicians have. What do you think is the disconnect there that is leading to some physicians feeling uncomfortable with the idea of a biosimilar?
And I think that that's 100% physician and healthcare provider education. When we were creating our patient education, we had experts who helped us answer the questions, what is this, and how safe should patients feel using these? And so if there are physicians out there that are questioning it, then to me that points to physician education needs to happen because our expert panel was clear on their safety and efficacy, and that those be the main messages that we say about biosimilars and really the biggest things that patients need to know. Certainly as a patient advocacy organization, we want patients to be have the information and even know the questions to ask to be able to be partners in their healthcare team and active partners in their healthcare team. And so we certainly don't want to get in the way of patient-provider communication at all. All of our materials clearly state to talk to your healthcare provider, talk to your cancer care team about any issues and any questions that you have, and that, your cancer care team knows your specific individual condition better than any materials that we could provide on cancer or issues that surround cancer in general. And so if there are issues with physician and healthcare provider concerns about biosimilars, then again, that really needs to be dealt with in healthcare provider education.
How much work is involved in educating patients and providers about biosimilars so that they can become more accepting of these agents?
So we're making sure that we have a suite of materials that is easily found, whether you go to our website, which is one big way that patients and caregivers have been accessing our materials throughout the pandemic in this past year more than ever, as well as we do have print materials that are available for our local cancer support communities and GILDAS clubs, and healthcare cancer centers also order our print materials as ways to help distribute print materials. And so we have a suite of materials that include an e-learning video, print material, and then information on our website so that it's easy for somebody, no matter what their learning style or or how they might be coming across us, so that it's easy for them to find what they need. One of the things that we found was that we don't have to go into huge, complex explanations or discussions of biosimilars. Really, the main things that patients would need to know when looking up biosimilars is it safe? Is it effective? And maybe even just the idea of how to read those biologic drug names so that you can see if they have the same root name, then you're talking about a treatment that is similar enough for the FDA to say that this is safe and effective, no matter which set of four letters come after that root name. But because this isn't something that in general has come up from patients, we did want to make sure that we tested our messages with patients so they even understood, why are we talking about this? And, you know, what are you trying to get me to change therapies? No, we're not. We're just, if you need this information, it is here and available so that you can understand.
Do you believe real-world evidence can help to dispel lingering doubts about the efficacy of biosimilars?
I certainly don't doubt that that's the case. You know, one of the things that we did try to emphasize in our materials was how similar the biosimilars are to the originator products, rather than emphasizing their differences. Certainly, a big part of patients' concerns about this can be alleviated by talking to a physician who is, you know, up to date on both the science behind the FDA approvals for biosimilars, as well as seeing the real world evidence. Few patients are going to get to the point where they're going to want to see the results of real world evidence, at least so far in oncology. Now, that may be different in autoimmune disorders where, you know, there is one single drug that is kind of the major treatment. And so switching that drug for a biosimilar may be more of an issue for those patients than it is for many oncology patients who end up with a whole litany of treatments and cycles of treatments that they are getting over time. So I think that real world evidence will be helpful in physician and healthcare provider education. You know, there are some patients who, you know, they're scientists before they ever become patients. And for somebody like that, they may be very interested in that real world evidence. But for your average patient who is trying to cope with a life-threatening disease, as long as their doctor is assuring them that this is the right treatment for them and that matches up with what they're hearing from other patients and from patient advocacy groups and what they hear in support groups, then they'll never take a look at that real-world evidence.
What sort of information do you think your research project will provide, and how will it get more people on board with biosimilars?
So one of the things that both our research and then the summit where we work with other patient advocacy groups to come up with best practices for patient education in biosimilars, the whole point really is to make sure that we are communicating well. You know, the best way to communicate to patients who are dealing with long-term chronic diseases or, you know, acute life-threatening diseases is to be as simple and as clear as possible. Because even if somebody is a scientist in their day job, it's very different when you're having to feel like you need to get a PhD in your disease type in order to really understand what's happening and how to be an active part of the care team. And so I think the biggest thing that we can do, both in getting perceptions from patients on what do they understand about biosimilars, and also finding out from other patient advocacy groups what has worked well in their education, is to come up with the simplest ways to talk about these. You know, if I could wave a magic wand, I would call them biogenerics, because it would help patients easily bridge the gap of what is this, and then be able to kind of dig in more if they wanted more information. That's not what these are called, and so they need some more explaining and more communicating as to what they are. But in essence, the main message that patients need to hear is that they are safe and effective for what the FDA has approved them for.
Well, Claire, thank you for sharing your insights with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information in the show notes, and until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.